Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have you with us. Alan Peace is a world-leading body language expert. He is hired by politicians and CEOs and business leaders all around the world to train them in the art of body language. So, how do you look more confident, more dominant, and more successful? Well, in an extended and a very entertaining interview, Alan and I discuss the body language of success. But first up, here's a wrap of the markets for the week ending 20th of March with trading expert Ashley Jessen from Invast. Ashley Jessen, hello and welcome.
Hey, Caroline, great to be here.
Ashley, how did the US markets close last Friday?
Yes, certainly a very bullish end to the week. We had the Dow up 168 points, up 2.1% for the week. The NASDAQ was up 34 points on Friday's session, or up 3.2% for the week. And the S&P was up over 18 points, or 2.7% for the week. Now, some interesting points to note over in America. Apple shares got added to the Dow Jones, and it's still the world's most valuable company. We had the FOMC meeting with Janet Yellen last week, pushing the US dollar lower, markets higher, and we had the FTSE. The FTSE broke 7,000 finally. After all this time, it finally broke through to the upside.
And how did the Australian market look?
Australian market definitely followed suit. Despite a weak early Friday session, it finished up 24 points on the day, or 2.77% for the week. It's the highest weekly close since May 2008. So on Friday night, based on that positive US data and the markets flying to the upside, we did hit an intraday high of 6,007 points. So that was really positive. And we had about $7.5 billion traded on Friday.
What patterns are jumping out from the charts at the moment?
At the moment, we're starting to see about 61% of our top 50 ASX stocks are showing either lower lows or lower highs. But we do have a healthy 32% hitting higher highs, and they are the banks and those value-based stocks at the moment. But that bearish divergence we're starting to see, at the heavy end of town, we've got Macquarie, Sydney Airport, Sonic Healthcare, Coca-Cola and Crown Resorts, all starting to have a little bit of bearish divergence. Something to keep an eye on for investors for sure, but certainly bullish momentum. And this 6,000 resistance point on the Aussie market, that double top level, will be a really interesting one to watch this week.
Do you think it'll be a tipping point or a resistance line?
I think there's going to be a push higher. I think traders they're too excited to try and get this level pushed ahead forward. And there's so many bullish people at the moment. But I certainly think later in the week, maybe Wednesday, Thursday, you need to be mindful of maybe a short-term pullback.
All right. Ashley, what opportunities are you trading this week?
Yeah, I think people need to keep a close eye on copper. Copper and crude oil specifically. Copper had a big short squeeze on Friday. It rose 3.8% and hit a 10-week high. Biggest gain since 2013. Now, we do have a number of copper miners, but they haven't really started to flow on to that positive news. So copper is pushing to the upside. We've got crude oil hitting record inventory levels over in the US, and apparently US storage will run out in 2 months' time. So we need to be mindful of that if they start flooding the market with supply, crude oil is probably going to drop below that. It's at $55 a barrel now, could drop even lower. So, and the big one, I think the Aussie 200 push higher, but maybe towards the end of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we might start to see a bit of a pullback in the markets.
Ashley Jessen, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Carolyn. You have a great week.
Easter is in the air. Hot cross buns are in the bakers and eggs are in the shops. Louise Bedford and her friends have put together a special Easter hamper so you can lay your golden goose potential. Listen to an assortment of free resources from industry leaders in property, share trading, accounting and business. The gift is valued at $397 but is yours for free, no strings attached. Rather than expanding your waistline this Easter, expand your financial mindset instead. To register, go to freegifthamper.com.au. That website again, freegifthamper.com.au. Barbara and Alan Peace are two of the world's leading body language experts. They've written 18 books, published in 54 languages, and sold over 27 million copies worldwide. Through their books and public speaking, they teach the skills of reading and responding to the 90% of communication that is nonverbal. And this skill applies to every situation, from negotiations and sales to relationships and love. In a very funny interview today, we speak to Alan Peace about the body language of success and the different ways men and women approach the share market. Alan Peace, hello and welcome to Talking Trading.
Well, thanks, Carolyn, and I'm glad to be invited.
Alan, I've been such a fan of yours for a long time, and so has Louise Bedford, who quoted your work in 2000 in her book Trading Secrets.
Oh, well, I'm glad to be a hero of somebody.
I'd like to talk about the body language of success.
Well, success, well, we'll take a step back and I'll take it from the start. The body language is an outward reflection, a visible sign of emotional condition. So in other words, whatever emotions or feelings that you're experiencing or having are likely to be reflected in gestures, expressions, postures, movements, and so on. So the art of reading body language and understanding it is simply reading a person's emotional condition. You then look at the circumstance under which it's all happening, and that allows you to piece together what could be going on in a person's mind. So emotional condition means, are they happy, sad, angry, cheerful, shameful, aggressive, passive, confident, submissive? So these are emotions that are reflected through gesture. So all you're doing is reading emotions. And women's brains are far better set up than men's brains to do this, which is what's usually called women's intuition. Now, women say, I've got an intuitive feeling you couldn't trust that guy. And someone says, yeah, but the guy says, how do you know? What did he say? Well, he didn't say anything. What did he do? No, well, he didn't do anything. Well, why don't you trust him? Just something about him. And what he's saying is most likely that the gestures and movements the guy was using, his attitudes, in other words, were contradicting what I heard the guy saying, so therefore I don't trust him. So when it comes to looking at, say, success and confidence, well, if you've got an attitude of success, confidence, power, wealth, dominance, which they all go together, that is definitely reflected in gestures and positions people who fit those emotional descriptions will have, that you can see, and they're the things that you can read. So you want to talk about those?
Yeah, let's talk about those. What are some of them?
Well, now, not only do people who naturally have those emotions show them, but we also, I teach these to well-known people in public who have to stand up in front of television cameras or audiences and convince the people to vote for them as president, prime minister, or chairman, or say yes to whatever they're proposing. So we teach them to show and use these movements to create an aura of confidence. And the interesting thing about this is that the attitude or emotion you have will create the gesture. So, for example, are your hands free right now?
They are.
Okay, just cross your arms on your chest. Now, 7 chances out of 10, the left arm is on top.
Yes.
Okay, in Southern Hemisphere, 70% of people have their left arm on top. It's coming from the right side of your brain. Now, when you cross your arms, one of the first things you begin to feel is non-participative. Like, you don't really have to say much. You can just sit back, check it all out. You don't have to comment. That's because by crossing the front of your body, and you're crossing your heart and lungs too, you're not crossing your belly or your throat. It's over your heart and lungs, and monkeys and chimps do this too. Its purpose is for frontal physical protection. So if you're with a group of people you don't know or don't like, or somebody might be talking badly about you or a friend and you're feeling a little bit insecure, you may cross your arms on your chest because it makes you feel physically protected. Now, if I said to you, hey, Caroline, you're looking a bit negative there, you might say, no, I'm not negative. I'm comfortable. Well, of course you're comfortable. You're feeling negative. You're being attacked. That's a very comfortable position. Now, if you're with all your mates having a great time at a party, that's not comfortable at all. It's uncomfortable. Now, here's the catcher, the kicker here, that by intentionally crossing your arms, as you just did, you start to experience the attitudes that match it. In other words, you start to feel closed off. You start to feel non-participative. You start to feel less interested in what's happening around you because you took the position. Now, this becomes very interesting when you look at power and success, because people who have power, success, money, wealth, dominance, all those things, they have certain gestures and positions that they use. But if you intentionally start practicing those positions, you begin to start to feel more confident. That's the first thing. Secondly, people who see you doing this, they begin to treat you as though you are more confident. So for job interviews, for example, this is pretty powerful stuff, because going to a job interview or going fronting up to someone to convince them to say yes can be a pretty nerve-wracking thing for most people. It's especially a job interview, because in job interview you've got 4 minutes to make it or break it. You blow the first 4 minutes and you're finished. You won't do any good after that. And the first 4 minutes is where you're going to have the most nervousness and tension, which you don't want to be on display. So by practicing confidence signals and gestures so that you're cool, you're in charge.
So here's a million-dollar question. What are some of those gestures and language signals?
Well, I did a fairly extensive study, which has been going on now for over 40 years that I've been doing this. People who are confident, for example, chief executives, prime ministers, and presidents who get out of a helicopter and walk across the tarmac in front of voters and in front of the media. Now, they want to project power, success, and so on. If they feel confident, powerful, there's certain things that they do, and these are things that we teach to those who don't look powerful. The first thing is, when they walk in slightly longer strides in an almost a semi-marching position. Ronald Reagan did it. John Howard certainly learned how to do that in Australia. Tony Blair definitely did it. So when they walk across the tarmac, it's almost like they're doing a semi-march. It's not quite a march, not enough for you to notice, hey, they seem like they're marching. But when they do it, you get a feeling that seems to be someone significant.
What about women?
Now, women, it's exactly the same thing. You keep the chest out, shoulders back, standing straight as you would as if you were a man, and do a semi-march. A semi-march is a thing that triggers the interest in the people who watch. I think you seem to be somebody who knows what they're about, because that's a confidence signal. Now, in terms of gestures, some of the things that that you'll see regularly, and many of these things you see is because I've taught them to some of these characters, there's a gesture called the steeple. It's the name I gave it back in the 70s, and it's almost like a praying position where the fingertips of one hand just touch the fingertips of the other. Can you do it?
Yeah, doing it.
And you just lightly tap one hand against the other, one set of fingertips against the other. Now, when you do that, you're doing it now?
Yep.
Now, the word that goes with this is confidence. You start to feel like you know what you're talking about. You can control. Yeah, you're in charge. Now, if you put a little smirk on your face as well, now you're like Mr. Burns on the Simpsons cartoon. Every time he's got a confident, sneaky plan, he steeples his fingers together and has a little smirk. Let me get the smirk out for a second. And what we found is that one of the big problems that we all have is when we're in front of television cameras or a crowd or just one-on-one. If you're talking using your hands, which is a good strategy, where the hell do you put them when you stop? No one ever thinks about this, Carolyn. So they either hold hands with themselves in front of their crutch, which is a typical male position. And if your mother held your hand when you were a little kid crossing a busy road or in a shopping center because you're a bit nervous, as an adult, if you're a bit nervous in front of people, you are likely to hold your own hand because it makes you feel better. Now, the problem is anybody who sees you do this, particularly female brain people, they get a gut feeling you're not as confident as you're trying to portray. Now, if we pressed a woman to say, how do you come to that conclusion? She couldn't articulate it. But what she's done is she's picked up the fact this guy or woman is holding hands with themselves in front of their body, or they might cross their arms in front of their body, or they'll lace their fingers together, which is frustration. So when you're talking with people, when the hands come back together, just do a steeple. Now, a man can hold the steeple higher in front of his body and hold it as high as his chin than a woman can. This is an interesting sexist thing here that I discovered. That
boobs. I'm guessing boobs.
Well, no, it's not. Well, that's probably an extra bonus. But what happens is that by showing photographs of people in certain gestures, positions, hairstyles and so on, candidates who've got a tick a list of adjectives describing what that person would be like if they met them. And we might have several hundred photographs in a test batch. They're all the same faces repeated, just we change the gestures or the appearance of that person so we can separate that if you put bright red lipstick on a woman, what effect does it have on the person who sees it? Now, with a steeple gesture, the people who are using the steeple gesture, now remember that the viewers didn't know that it was a steeple. They didn't know what it was about. All they had to do was get a gut feeling, what's this person like? With gesture, the perceived confidence level in the viewers went up dramatically. They started to think that you seem to know what you're talking about. You're confident in what you're saying. Now, the higher the steeple is held, so if a man holds his steeple just below his chin, he's perceived as confident, authoritative, and assertive. But if a woman does the same thing, she's seen as aggressive and bitchy. Now, it's a discrimination that comes out naturally without – the person doesn't have to say they're discriminating or not. It just is a natural occurrence. And you're more likely to be discriminated against by another woman than you will by a man too.
Let's talk about confidence in a seated position when you're at your desk or just talking to somebody at a party.
Well, the way to be perceived and accepted by others is to be open. That is, your body is physically open, which is perceived that your attitude is likely to be open. Now, open means you don't do any crossing in front of your body. You don't hold hands with yourself. Don't lace your fingers together. Don't cross your arms on your chest. Even crossing your legs, you're better off not to, certainly as a man. If you're a woman with a short dress, you probably don't have to. But the difficulty there is that women who wear miniskirts, particularly women from the 60s and the 70s who are now older who wear miniskirts, they cross their legs very tightly because you had to. And even though they're now wearing longer skirts, they're still crossing their legs tightly because that's what they did back in the 60s and 70s. These women with a leg cross position are perceived as less approachable. And all they're doing is just a habit from the days when they wore a miniskirt. So you better keep your knees together, but keep your legs uncrossed is the ideal position. Men don't have an issue with this because we generally don't cross our legs. We have the opposite problem. Men tend to spread their legs, particularly when they're with attractive women. They spread their legs and say, oh, what do you think about this? What it says, because monkeys and chimps do it too. Monkey males will spread their legs when available females are around to try to make a big impression. And that's the guy who does it to a woman in business. Where you've seen this before. Every woman listening to this has seen this. The guy sits back in his chair, spreads his legs, puts both hands behind his head.
Yeah.
How can I help?
The dominant position.
As soon as he does that, you either get really angry with him and start to give him a hard time. You don't even know why you're giving him a hard time. You just know he deserves it. Yeah. So if you're aware that the dominant males will do that, when they do it, if you're a woman, don't react is the key. If you react, male brains pick this up. Oh, that worked. Spread my knees, put my leg in the third drawer, and it worked a treat.
So what does a woman do? Just maintain equilibrium?
Completely ignore it. If you've got a sense of humour, there's a couple of things you can do. I mean, if he's going to put all that crutch on display, you might as well talk to it. Just don't talk to his book. Just say, you've got a very good point there, Bob. You're really intimidated by a guy who does crutch displaying hands behind the head because it's a peculiarly male position. You rarely see women doing this. When he does it, stand up when you talk. Stand up and walk as you talk. But when you stand up, he can't maintain that position. He's got to come forward and change. Then you sit down. Train a dominant guy that you won't be dominated in a conversation.
Men and women trade differently. Men tend to be overconfident. They see the markets as a battlefield. Women tend to have less confidence trading. They talk about their trading results and they also develop loyalty towards particular shares. From an evolutionary standpoint, why?
Well, that's pretty typical in most things. You see that in all aspects of male and female behaviour. Now, also, I've got to say in advance, to even discuss these things in the 21st century is seen as probably being discriminatory or sexist or something, which is not. We're talking about behavioural things here because it's taken a million years for our patterns of behaviour to evolve. And so if you look at male evolution is we have 10 to 20 times more testosterone hormones than women. On average, that's the majority, not all, but the majority. Which now testosterone is a hormone that sends you out to fight battles, chase enemies, kill animals, and come back home and succeed. It's a success hormone, a hunting hormone. Women have just enough testosterone to keep their sex drive high enough to keep the species ticking over. That's about it. So going out and hunting is not an evolutionary position for women, even though 50% of women today do their own hunting. And they don't need a male to provide food, protection, and shelter anymore. They don't need that. Even though we found highly successful women who are great in business, they own their own homes, have their own incomes, wealthy women, they still want a man who can provide food, protection, and shelter, even though she doesn't need it. Wrong these drivers are. And that's why what it means is a successful woman does not want to live or marry a loser. They're working in the share market while he's on the beach sunning himself. They don't want this. They might want it for one or two nights, but that's the end. Nothing happens after that.
And a loser is someone who can't provide the buck.
That's exactly how it goes. And even women who don't need the buck still demand a man who can do these things, which shows that these ancient drives they've got are still there. It's confusing for highly successful women in business, particularly in the share market and the finance business, because she might be a CEO or running a very powerful, successful business, making lots of money and great at what she does, doesn't need any guy to provide anything, yet she still has this urge to find this guy. Then women start to feel a sense of guilt and they don't know why. Why am I feeling this way? Because if you understand why, it's ancient urges. Now, maybe the guy she wants is a struggling artist, but the guy goes out every day and paints and looks for avenues to be able to exploit his creative need. Women will be happy with that.
Let's talk about the way men need to be right about everything. Why?
Well, you look at human evolution, it makes sense. We definitely don't want to be wrong. Because if you look at human history, as a species, we've survived a million years or more by male's ability to make right decisions. In other words, he needs to know whether you should stay undercover or come out in the open. He needs to be able to know when to go and hit that animal and chase it and bring it home to feed you. He needs to be right in being able, he needs to make all the decisions, should you stay or move. And historically, female evolution has been having babies and making sure from a job perspective that those babies, which are your DNA, are not eaten, killed, or taken away. So you need a special set of skills to be able to do that, which don't involve hitting a moving zebra at 50 metres. which is what a male brain skill is good at. So a guy sitting in his cave looking out into the distance wondering about what to do next with the family. Everybody depended on this guy to be right. And that's why today it translates into things like, we're not stopping at that garage to ask directions. We'll just keep going around all night to find that address, despite what you say, Caroline. No point in arguing with a guy about the fact that trivia question's wrong or he won't stop at the garage or he made a mistake. It's better to anticipate this is what's going to happen. So if you're running late for the party, you've just passed that McDonald's store three times in the last hour and you should have been there half an hour ago at the party, you say, look, I really need to go to the loo. Can you stop at the garage so I can use the loo? And then he'll wander inside, pretend he's buying a newspaper and say, oh, by the way, do you know how I get the such and such? The neighbor's saying, you are an idiot. We passed that garage three times in a row because we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it from another male. Another male will do that anyway. Two males together will just drive around all night, each pretending that they don't know where they are.
Alan, there's so many things I want to ask you, but this is a particular favorite of mine. Why men like lingerie on women?
Well, you know, I was talking about this the other week at a dinner party, and one of Barbara's girlfriends said, we're talking about lingerie, and she said, oh, he got me this lingerie. She says, he wants me to dress up like a prostitute. I said, yeah, that's right. She said, well, that's not very nice. I said, well, look, a prostitute is a professional sex seller. She knows exactly what the customer wants to pay money for. That's why she dresses like it. It's not an accident. She's doing specific things to stimulate him to give her the money. Said, now, we really should take a leaf out of that professional's book and copy it. Because she said, then I'll feel like a whore. I said, that's true, but you'll get over that. In sex, it's only kinky the first time, I said. After that, it becomes normal. So for him, well, it gives him the chance, rather than being polygamous, which is how his brain set is, finding a number of females to provide for his DNA for the future, is that he can dress up and change the one he's got. And that's why men love women to dress up, and particularly in lingerie, because every time you do that, he's got a new woman.
Just to close, how do we all raise our levels of testosterone through our own body language?
Well, the first is arm patches. If you put on testosterone patches or take testosterone therapy, which many men and women do these days, particularly baby boomers, it will definitely change your body language. That's been very soundly shown. Because you start to feel more confident, more aggressive, more assertive. And we know in America last year, for example, 3 out of 4 new business startups were women over 50. In other words, they've got higher testosterone ratio than they have female hormones. So women over 50 become more authoritative, more assertive, more aggressive and start businesses. The result of that is body language changes. They become more authoritative in their body language. They walk straighter. They go into a semi-march. They get more to the point in what they want. They speak up and say what they do want, which are all signs of higher testosterone. So how can you do it? Well, you can do it artificially by taking patches, but you grow a mustache, which is not a good look, Carolyn, not for a woman. by changing your body language to authoritative, assertive gestures of walking in a march, using steeple gestures and avoiding negatives like holding hands with yourself, crossing your arms on your chest or any hand-to-face touching, which is always perceived as negative. By changing to positive signals, it definitely affects your body chemistry. And so you do feel more confident and you generate more confidence hormones. And that's the interesting thing about it. By changing your body language, you create a change in internal construction of your physiology.
Alan Peace, it's been a blast talking to you.
You didn't scratch your nose then, did you? My pleasure, Caroline.
And Alan, just refer people to where they can buy copies of your books.
Well, I'm going to say any good bookstore. There aren't any bookstores anymore. They're all gone. Anywhere online, Amazon, or you can get it, if you get it direct from Peace.tv, P-E-A-S-E, that's my name, .tv for television.
Great. And your particular favourite book is?
Well, I've written 18 books. I suppose the one that's nearest and dearest to my heart would be Body Language, because everybody knows that. The Why Men Don't Listen, Women Can't Read Map series are our biggest, so I had the biggest thrill out of those. But my personal favourite is Why Men Want Sex and Women Need Love, which is how male and female brains respond to and perceive sex, love and romance. It explains why you think that guy is nuts or why he wants to kill her as soon as possible.
Alan, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure, Caroline.
And that's all we have for you today, guys. Thank you to our contributors, Ashley Jessen and Alan Peace. Stay tuned next week for funny woman and international motivational speaker Amanda Gore as she discusses joy and how to get there. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here,
Thanks for your company. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any of the information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.